This evening to the book of Job, chapter 38. Book of Job, chapter 38. I'm going to read verses 1, verse 3. Take the message tonight from chapters 38 through 2. We read Job and wisdom so worth it. No, it's what they're talking about. Gird up now thy loins like a man. For I will demand of thee an answer thou me. We all know that the book of Job begins with Job as very happy, healthy, wealthy individual, surrounded by his wife and ten children. We also know that the book tells that Job's blessings sink into miseries. He loses his wealth, loses his family, loses his health, basically loses his status. And at first, Job bore his calamities with amazing patience and submission. He said, came of my mother's womb and turned thither, get forth, take away, be born. Following that, we see eventually Job sitting in the ashes, scraping himself with a broken piece of pottery, his wife coming to him and saying, curse God and die. Soon after, Job's friends would gather. Notice in chapter 2, we see his three friends in verse 11, when they heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. We see their names, and then it says that they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. When they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights. And none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Job was the one who broke the silence. In chapter 2, or chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. And if you read there from verse 2 through verse 13, basically what Job is saying is, I wish I had never been born. Wish I had never been born. And that was what broke the silence. Job's friends, very anxious to know and understand the why of Job's suffering. They wanted to know why. Why did this happen? Why is a man like Job suffering so much? The conclusion that they come to, of course, is God is punishing Job. There must be something. They told Job was being punished for some horrible deed he had done, and most was dedicated to a cycle of Job's friends accusing him, and then Job defending himself. And misery drug on. As you read, you see that there were times when Job's confidence in God began to waver. And he began to defend himself against the bad theology of his friends. And in defense of himself, he said some very good things about God. The truth about all your substantial things that weren't true. Said some things about God that were not true. But the trap that Job had now fallen into was he was trying to defend himself. And Job is looking at his own faithfulness and arguing his own faithfulness. And any time you begin to get your eyes upon your own faithfulness, you're going down the wrong path. And you're going to run into trouble. Anytime you begin to think that you're being mistreated by God. And there were some statements that Job made. He knew that. He's treated by the Lord. So in Job 23, verse 4, says his desire to confess himself before God. Job 23, verse 3, he says, "All that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat, I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments." He desires to defend himself before God. And then by the time we get to our text in Job 38, we see a storm had gathered. And it was out of that storm that God spoke directly to Job. Keep in mind what we just read in chapter 23. Job desiring to defend himself before God. The Lord begins by saying to Job in Job 38, "Bow thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." He says, "Okay, Job, now's your time. But you're going to answer me. I'm not going to answer you." And we see from chapters 38 through 42, I haven't personally counted them, we see the names that God asked Job. And in these questions, God was challenging Job's competence to judge God's ways. He is basically saying, "Job, who are you to judge my ways? Who are you?" Again, keep in mind, Job says, "I would order my arguments." So why was God asking Job all of these questions? Again, I believe at this time Job was in trouble, not simply because he had lost his wealth and his family, but he was beginning to spiritually came to the rescue. It is easy in suffering to become self-centered rather than God-centered. So God asked these questions to Job. And what he did was he refocused Job's attention. And so Job himself searched for answers to humans, answers to grace. That's for you and I. Many times we spend a lot of our time searching for an answer, and you don't need to know the answer. And this was part of the point of the questions that God asked. So God, I believe, asked these questions to cause Job to realize, "Job, I'm the answer." And that's all you need to know. I'm the answer. You don't need to know anymore. You don't need to know anything else. So we're going to summarize tonight's interrogation. Of course, we're going to chapter 42, so just get a summary of questions. It's not just asking the questions of God. And you'll notice, if you take the time to read through these chapters, God never gives Job an answer to any of these questions. And God never answers the question of why. Why is Job suffering? Why did all these things happen? God never answered that, because you don't need to know. What God reminded Job was, "I am Creator God." And that's all you need to know. God, in these questions, reminded Job of two facts, Two facts that you and I need to be reminded of from time to time. Fact number one, there is a God. We need to be reminded of that from time to time. Fact number two, you're not Him. And that's basically what God is telling Job. I'm God, not. We need to be reminded of that from time to time. Not that any of us would dare declare ourselves to be God, but do we not sometimes act as if we're God? As if we're God, as if we know better than the Lord. So the answer to Job's problems really was not in an explanation about God. The answer to Job's problem was God. If God reveals to Job, so it is. Problem could not handle. And you and I, those problems, we realize that we can't handle. And the way that you can't is to have them in Him and trust the lesson that God is teaching Job. So let's look at these questions. They begin verse 4, chapter 38. From verse 4 through verse 11, we have questions about creation. And he begins by asking Job, Job, where were you when I created the universe? Where were you? You're saying God in person. As we're saying, Job, where? You and I did. And I realized it. I realize we're old in Genesis 1, and we know that much. But for God to speak, and there it is. You and I really don't know how He did it. We weren't there. He says, he's reminding Job, he says, Job, believe it or not, I laid the foundations of the earth by myself. Job, I didn't need your help. I didn't need your input. I didn't need your advice. Where were you, Job? You weren't there. And that's true of all of us. None of us were there. In other words, God is saying, Job, I didn't need your intelligence. I didn't need your help. He goes on and he asks, where were you when I created Mercury and Venus? When the angels shouted for joy. There in verse 7. And then in verses 8 through 11, he asks some questions about oceanography. He says, Job, where were you when I created the waters? You, when I set the bounds of all the oceans, the seas, and the rivers. Where were you, Job? Where were you when I set bounds for all the waters? God reveals Himself. In those questions, God reveals Himself as the Creator, but not only as the Creator, but as the Controller. And there's where the problem lies. There isn't anyone here tonight that has a problem believing that God is the Creator. But I dare say there are some who have some problems with believing that God is the controller. And God is reminding Job, I'm the creator, but I'm also the controller. And if God's a controller, you and I don't have to be in control. In verses 12 through 38, God asked Job some questions about the marvels of the present world. Notice, in verse 12, he says, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place? In other words, Job, have you ever made the sunrise? Job, have you ever made the sunset? Job, would you even know how to make the sunrise? Would you know how to make the sunset? You see, in order to make the sunrise, in order to make the sun set, you would have to control the earth's rotation. And if all the people in the world gathered together and worked together, they could not control the earth's rotation. But God can, and God does. So sometimes we need to hear that question. When was the last time you made the sunrise? Have you ever made the sunrise?
Of course not. But yet sometimes we act as if things depend upon us. And they don't. In verse 16, God focuses upon the depth and breadth of the sea and land. And the point is that man is extremely limited in his knowledge of the earth. In verse 17, he asks, "Have you seen what lies beyond death?" None of us have. We read some things in the Word of God, but we haven't been there. We don't know what it's like to die. We don't know. We haven't been beyond the comprehension of the earth. In verses 19 through 21, God asks Job about light and dark. He says, "Job, where does the light dwell? Where does darkness dwell? Where was light and where was darkness? When God first separated the two. And Job, can you take light or darkness and direct its course? Where were you when God set the bounds for light? When God set the bounds for..." He asked Job about the snow and the hail and the rain in the frost. He says, "Job, do you know anything about how to store up snow and hail? You know how to do that? You know how to store it up? Do you know how to make it rain? Do you know how many snowflakes are scheduled? Do you know any of the laws in your system on earth?" In verse 4, he asks, "Can the clouds will God in?" In verse 35, he says, "Can you call and the lightnings come? Can you send the lightning and control it?" In verse 37, he says, "Can you count the clouds in your wisdom? Can you prevent it from raining?" So whether we focus on the earth or the sea or the rising of the sun or the setting of the sun, the snow, the hail, the stars, the rain, the point is this: you're ignorant and impotent. The point is you and I are ignorant. The point is that we are impotent. So why so often do we act as if it depends upon us? We need to hear God asking these questions. Job does not know how to make any of these things work: the earth, the sea, the snow, the hail. He is utterly surrounded by mysteries, and so are we. But God knows, and God can. He who controls all these things for every seed He calls the sun to mind. And this is the point that God is making to Job. He is telling Job, "Job, you do not need to know why. All you need to know is I can." And that's all we need to know. And then we trust him from there. Then we see, beginning with verse 39 of chapter 38 through verse 30 of chapter 39, God asks Job some questions about animate nature. In verses 39 through 40 of chapter 38, God asks Job how to provide them they're hungry. "Do you know how, Job, to provide food for the ravens?" What he's saying is that God is sovereign. God is in control.
You see, God can lead the silly raccoon across the road at the same time that a car is coming, cause that raccoon to get hit, and we might say, oh, that poor raccoon. Or we could say, praise God, God just supplied some food for the ravens. God did it. We don't understand how God does all these things. But verses 1 through 4 of chapter 9, he said, are you present when at the birth of why do you doubts bring angel? I do. He says, think of it all, for all these things. I am there. In control of that situation. Every mountain goat that gives birth, he's saying, Job, I'm there. And I'm in control of that situation. Job, have you ever been there? Are you in control of those situations? You're not in control. And all God's people need to learn that lesson. We need to be reminded of that lesson over and over and over again. We're not in control. God is. And why is it so often when people are massively dying, I feel like I don't need control. It's not the place to be. Because then and only then will you trust God. Will you lean fully upon Him. He goes on in verses 5 through 8 of chapter 39. And God asked Job, who hath sent out the wild ass free? Or who hath loosed the bands of the wild ass? Job, you think that donkey is unpredictable, but I'm in control of that donkey. I'm in complete control. I set them loose, and they're under my control, and Job, you don't have anything to do with it. As a matter of fact, Job, there's a lot of things you don't have anything to do with. And I'm in control of it all. And so it goes with the wild ox, he mentions in verses 9 through 12. He says, I know how to bind the wild ox. I know how to use him. Verse 13, Job, did you give the beautiful feathers to the peacock? Job, were you there? Did you give those feathers to the peacock? Of course not. And then he goes on, he mentions the stupidity of the ostrich. And God is telling Job, he says, I'm in control of that also. You think that ostrich is plain stupid. He says, I'm in control. That ostrich lays its eggs and get eaten. That ostrich has no sense. I'm in control of all that. So even things are by the God. In verses 25, Job about the horse. Job, give verse. No, don't give the horse. 23. He says that the horse is that the bird flies. Commanding us. It's not. You're not in control. Job don't need no why. Don't need no why your children die. You need why yours. Don't need to deny your his. Don't need no why and curse God and die. Don't deny it. You don't die. You need some. That's true of all of us. So it's true. Consider lions, the black and gold, the black and gold, the black and gold, the black and gold, the stupid ostrich, the poor horse, the fly, the hawk, or the eagle. Point is, Job, you know how I do. That's the UN. It goes over and over again. And now, why does the one I do this? Why not just try? So we want to make application of what we've said so far. These questions were designed to show the greatness of God and the insignificance of man. God is much more complex than our finite minds can figure out. You see, we have a tendency to limit God to our understanding. What we need to realize is that we need a God that we can't understand. If I can understand Him, He's got to be pretty small. If you can understand Him, if you can understand all the workings of God, He's got to be pretty small. I don't need a God that I can understand. I need a God that I can't understand. And that's the God we have. And that's the point that God is making to Job. God is far bigger
than you and I can ever imagine. And in these questions, God is reminding Job. He's saying, Job, I am sovereign. I am almighty. I am all-knowing. And these questions remind and reaffirm God's right as God. God has rights as God. He can do as He pleases. And you and I do not have to understand why. And you and I do not have to know why. All we have to know is that He's in control. And that we are going to lean upon Him. And we are going to trust Him. These questions also revealed to Job that God is indifferent. He, when they go there with their birth, he Job is yourself, and he's ready to my there. Let us never think, where's God? Here I am, I'm in trouble. Where's God? He's where He's always been. He's in control. And let us not get carried away with why. Why is this happening to me? Maybe God will tell you why. But more than likely He won't. He never told Job why. Never did. And you know, many times I've been asked why. Why did an infant die? Why did a little child die? Why? I don't have the question. But you need a revelation of God. He's in control. I mean, it makes you got it. Really makes you anything. I don't think so. It didn't help any. We really need to know why God will tell us. If He doesn't, then we need to just delay God. And that's what we're doing. So these sins are designed so that it is God who provides. It is God who cares for every phase of the universe. And as such, He can provide my needs. He can provide your needs. These questions are a reminder. And it may seem silly, but it's true. We all need to be reminded. God is smarter than you. He's smarter than you are. He knows more than you do. And sometimes we have to be reminded of that. Again, these questions were designed as a reminder. Job, there is a God. You're not Him. And sometimes we need to hear that voice. There is not Him. And that's true. The question is designed as a man to trust God. Again, it says, Job, I didn't need your input at creation. I still don't need it. I didn't need your message. Here's who doesn't need your thing. He can do it all by Himself. He needs a way. So he's like, we've got to fix this. He fixes it. So I don't need, God is saying, Job, I don't need you to solve the problems. Why is it that we act like we have to solve someone else's problem? God's big enough to solve their problems. He's big enough to solve all of our problems. He has the answer. He is the solution. Truth is, sometimes we look at our lives and it appears to be just a tangled mess. But God can untangle the mess. You, but God is our reminder. So it depends on control. We are away from God. And when it appears that everything is out of control, everything really is in control. Everything's always in control. Everything's always in the control of God. What Job needed was he needed a fresh revelation of God. In a time of suffering, what we need in a time of suffering is a fresh revelation of who God is. That's what we need.
Oh, you can say all you want. I need time alone. No, you don't. You need a fresh revelation from God. That's what you need. And that's what will fix your problem. Now notice in closing in Job chapter 40. Notice the effect that this had upon Job. Moreover, the Lord answered Job. Job had been asking all these questions. So the Lord knew what he was thinking. He contendeth with the Almighty, instruct him. He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord. Then Job answered the Lord. Job has had a fresh revelation of God. And what does Job say? He says, behold, I am vile. I am vile. Job is immediately humbled in the presence of God. That's what we need. We humbled in the presence of God. And hear what he said back in chapter 23. I would order my arguments against God. But now all he can say is, I will lay my hand upon my mouth. In other words, it'd be best if I don't say anything. How true. How true many times. When God reveals himself, that ought to humble us. Then notice in chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know, this is all I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withheld from thee. Job says, God, I know you can do everything. I don't need to know why. I don't need to know the why of all this suffering, Job says. I just know that you can do everything. That's all you and I need to know. And we're to trust him. Who he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I understood not. He says, I spoke of things that I did not know. We do it every day. We do it every day. Which I knew not. Then notice verse 4. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thee. I have by the ear. But now, mine eye seeth thee. There's been a revelation. There's been a revelation of God. And again, there's humility. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust, in ashes. In all of our problems, in all of our needs, what we need more than anything is to experience the majesty of God. To see anew the majesty and the grandeur of Almighty God. These questions, again, you take the time and you read them for yourself. There's much there. What it is just simply a reminder that God's in control. Why do we fret? Why do we worry? Why does this world fall apart? Believe it or not, the whole world's not dependent upon you. Believe it or not, you're not that big. Believe it or not, you're not that important. God can. All we need to know is that God can. I can't. God can. Therefore, we lean all of our weight upon him and to trust him. And the sooner that you and I learn that lesson, the happier we will be, the more we will be. So God came to Job because Job was really beginning to have some struggles spiritually. And God fixed it
by revealing himself. Next time you have a problem, next time you're suffering, instead of asking God why, instead of just saying, God, get out of me, why don't you ask God to heal him? Lord, you need a revelation. Ask God. And when you and I get a fresh glimpse of God, I'm fixing it. Just fixes it. And that's what happened here.